take over mine. That habit can take over conscience. And all they have to do is give you a habit for a long enough period of time. And that habit then dominates your intelligence. The habit will dominate your intelligence and push out intelligence. The habit will rule where once intelligence ruled. They study this in science. They know this. So they give you habits to condition your mind to accept more and more immorality. The vulgar dances. First, the girl is ashamed to do it. Sometimes the boys are ashamed to do it. They have to force themselves to do that vulgar dance. They have to go against their natural instinct, their natural instinct of human shyness. They have to fight it to do that vulgar thing. Pretty soon, they're a stone freak out there under the spotlight. Under the spotlight, a stone freak. And have got them to pull off all the dress of conscience. Normal human conscience have become a stone freak. A pervert. Rubbing each other's groins together. Rubbing spit together. Seeing can one put the tongue down the throat of the other. So what is that doing? I'm serious, I'm very serious. I want you to see how they use science to reach you through your biology and bring your mind down to the lowest primitive level. They can reduce the human mind lower than the mind of the brute beast, because it's not in the human, in the beast intellect to follow discipline outside of his instinctive mold that he has been put in by God. The beast has been put in an instinctive mold by God. And that you can't bring him out of that instinctive mode except by chemical alteration. And while he's outside of it, he's outside of his own conscience, so he's just like a dead thing, you know. And pretty soon he dies. If he tries to mate with another one, he probably can pass on this cell perversion. This mutant cell may be passed on in a sexual intercourse. But that beast that you do that to, he's finished. He's finished. But you can do it to a human being and he stays around. He doesn't only pass on his mutant genes to the other generation, but he also carries this on and feeds it to the society and make the whole living society become like him. You see? Because he's able to follow it and carry it on. Whereas the beast that you manipulate behavior through chemical things, you destroy that beast. The beast ain't fit for nothing else. And the other beasts, they don't learn from him. The beasts will run away from that crazy beast. Because God has put their intelligence in a mold. They can't come out of it. They see some beast going along freaking, doing some crazy freaking thing. They ain't gonna copy him. They ain't gonna say, hey, look at that dog, man. Hey, that dog got a cool walk. Say, hey, man, let us all cocker spaniels copy that cool walk. They ain't gonna do that. The scientist, the mad scientist, can manipulate him by some kind of injection or something. It can freak him up now, and he'll come out walking sideways. It ain't no threat to the dog society now. They can't copy that. They look at him and they're... Pretty soon, he done bit that lame leg off. They'll chew that lame leg off. And then, what is this freak? Where he come from? But somebody can walk in our mess yet. On one leg, with one toe touching every other step, leaning at an angle of 30 degrees. Almost falling, you know. And if we let him go on and don't say nothing to him, pretty soon, one brother cop him. After a while, there are five or six brothers got it. Here's some sister walking sideways. That's because God has respected us so much. He has had so much trust. He put so much trust in our nature that he made, that he allowed us freedom to step outside of the mold that he cast us in and do a devious thing, do a perverted thing, a freakish thing if we want to. Because he has put into us such great obedience to him and such great spiritual and moral conscience that he knows that maybe 10 of them will do that. Maybe 50, maybe 50,000, maybe 50 million. But the majority will one day rise up against the crazy perverts. And they'll say, no more of this. Because God has put it in our nature to come back to the original nature that he created us in. Oh, yes. But look how we have to suffer in this hell, where everything perverted is fashionable. And true nature is a freak. Yeah, they call us freaks. You don't believe in streaking? You don't believe in exchanging wires? You don't believe in going back to back? Or upside down? What do you people do for life? Oh, you don't have no fun at all. So let me again read this hadith. There is coming against humanity a day wherein people won't care whether it is lawful or forbidden. This is a saying of Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad lived on this earth about 1,400 years ago and some years. A little less than 1,400 years ago. But near to 1,400 years ago, the Prophet was on this earth. Back 1,400 years and over. So he passed less than 1,400 years ago, but close to 1,400 years ago. And he warned of the coming time where the humanity, the people at large, will not care whether a thing is forbidden or allowed. In other words, they will do what they want to with no respect for divine guidance. Prophet Muhammad, on one occasion, was questioned by the angel Jibreel, who was in the form of a human being. And he asked the Prophet Muhammad basic questions to the religion. And Prophet Muhammad answered his question. And in the questioning, Jibreel said, "Wasa'a?" He said, "And what about the hour?" The hour means the hour of judgment, the doom. Prophet Muhammad replied to him. He said, "The one questioned is in no better position to answer than the one questioning. In effect, he was saying what scripture says, it's what the Quran says. No one knows when that time will come except Allah himself." Then Gabriel said, "Well, what about its sign?" And Prophet Muhammad said, "Its sign is that the servant girl will be pregnant or will be carrying the child of her mistress. That's its sign." What I want to tell you today And I hope you won't forget it, because I'm going to tell you again, I hope, if I live, I'm going to tell you over and over again, that we are the servant girl. And now we are carrying the burden of our mistress. Who is our mistress? Our mistress is the world that has been over us. As Muslims, we have the worldwide community of Muslims that is our mistress. And we in the worldwide Muslim community, we are a contributing community, serving the whole ummah, or the whole community. And the leaders are seen in Saudi Arabia, in Egypt, Pakistan. The leaders are seen in the old world. We are a young community. But nevertheless, the whole community has to look to us for future community life. Because we have got the germ of knowledge now, and it's growing in us. They have become sterile, barren. They can't have children no more. In other words, they can't produce the new generation of Muslims. Allah has chosen us to produce the new generation of Muslims. So that community that is new, and that community that has been looked upon as a servant, or as a community of no government status. We don't have government status. We don't have economic status. We don't have the great status of the free society. So we are like a servant community. And a new community. Servant girl. You see? Servant girl. The girl is young. The mistress is old. Oh, yes. Prophet Muhammad says, when the servant girl is seen carrying pregnant with the child of his mistress, how come the child is called the child of his mistress? Really, this should have been your responsibility. This community belongs to your community. This community of Muslims belongs to the Muslim world. It should have been your responsibility to bear the fruits of the knowledge. But here it is, this new community is doing your job. New community of people doing your job that you have failed to do. Oh, yes. He said, when the servant girl is seen carrying the child of her mistress, that's a sign. Now, if the servant girl is seen carrying the child of her mistress, then what has happened? The husband has gone with the servant girl. Is that right? Yes. The mistress won't claim no child. That's not her husband. You can learn this from Scripture. No woman claimed a child that wasn't her husband. But the child that was her husband, she claimed it. The first wife, the real wife, claimed that child. You see? Where this kind of thinking comes from? The story of Abraham. Abraham's wife, Sarah, the old lady, she asked Hagar, the young girl, the mistress, the young servant girl, to have a child by her husband. Hagar agreed, and Abraham agreed. So a young child was Because Abraham liked the girl and liked the child. Jealousy developed, and she said, get this girl out of my house. And her child with her. They will have no inheritance in my house. Now, what did this hadith say? A sign of the judgment is when the servant girl is carrying the child of her mistress. Isn't it wonderful? Is this something we should be rushing over quickly and to get home to a dinner or something? I don't think about food and home and wife and stuff like that when I'm on this kind of work. Now, look. Prophet Muhammad is the descendant of Abraham through Hagar. So at the time he was speaking, wasn't he himself a sign? Wasn't the fact that he had a new community growing from the descendants of Hagar, the servant girl, wasn't that itself a sign of the hour being near? Oh, yes. And didn't judgment come upon Arabia through his mission? Oh, yes. Now, here we are in America. And we are pregnant with the truth of divine revelation. And it's growing in us. And we were once a servant community. We weren't looked upon as equals in this society. We are the servant community. And now the servant community is pregnant with the germ of knowledge that is claimed by the rulers. The rulers claim right to this. Ain't no servant supposed to have this. This is for the rulers. Oh, it's a sign of judgment. It's a divine work. Find that the hour is near. What is going to happen? God is going to put the child of the servant over the masters of the house. Didn't he raise Prophet Muhammad over the leaders? Now, if a similar sign has come about in you, shouldn't you also have faith that he's going to raise your community? He's going to raise your community through one leader. He's going to raise your community above the old leadership. Oh, yes. And doesn't judgment come through the rising of the masses? When the small people rise up, isn't that judgment upon the old order? Oh, yes. Our rising up is judgment upon the old order. The old system is being judged by our rising up. For every time we rise a notch, we have indicted the government of America, the government of America, and the government of Arabia, and the governments of Africa, the governments of the world. They are indicted every time we rise up a notch. Every time we rise up, the world sees their evil. Yes. Every freedom we come into reveals a captivity that they once had us in. We can't ask for any great thing without showing them up. Yes, you don't understand. Some of you just don't understand. This is the day. Yes, indeed. This is the day of judgment. Judgment on the wicked world. And they can't do anything but face the music. Don't think they can handle me. They couldn't handle W.D. Farrar. They couldn't handle Mahmoud Elijah Muhammad. And they were just signs pointing to me. How can you think they're going to handle me? No, indeed. They can't handle me. They weren't the real thing. They were just signs. independence is going to happen here. Something powerful is going to happen here on this earth. Something is going to happen in the oppressed and neglected people that's going to give them independence, going to give them courage to work out their own future with their own hands. They were signs that something was coming. What they left you with could not survive. What they left you with could not bring you into this dignity. If you think so, go join some of those that's still preaching their preaching. And we'll rescue you tomorrow. You will sure need rescuing. You will not make it. God has blessed us to come through the fires of furnace, the fiery furnaces of hell, to come through all kinds of temptations. Don't you know this is how God proved to the world that the people he chose is worthy? He just can't establish a people. He has to establish also the justice for establishing those people. So he has to send those people through the pits of hell. They have to survive what others have survived, and even greater. So when the world look at them and say, why God placed them there? Why did God exalt those people to that high station in the world? The argument in history will speak for them and say, here is the justice, here is the justice. We came through physical tortures. We came through church teaching, emotional teaching. But we hadn't yet been tried with material deification of God. No one had tried us with the material deification of God. No one had told us God is man. God is material universe. God is man. Nobody had placed us into the position when we could think ourselves to be Almighty God. Until Farad Muhammad. He taught that you are God. And that God comes in a man, a human being. He taught that the black man is a God. He taught us that we all are God. And the highest one among us is the God. The supreme of all the gods. This is what he taught us. And he taught us that the material universe is all there is, no other reality. Do you think you were the first people that came under that kind of teaching? No. The world has kept it from you. But others have come believing the same thing. In fact, secretly, some of the Christian theologians believe the same thing. They believe that the universe has evolved, the spirit, divine spirit, and that in the human being individual is that divine spirit, and that if you get in tune with the divine essence, that you can become a divine manifestation God. Jesus was God, according to that teaching, and Peter is God. They don't tell you that publicly. Actually, the Pope, not Peter only, but the Pope himself, secretly is their God. Jesus is gone, but the Pope is here, and he has manifested, he has left the key with, it has passed down through generations to the Pope, and the present Pope is God on earth. Secretly, that's what they believe. That's why they kiss his hand, they bow to him, they back up backwards. And when he died, they give it to another, and they pass it on. So actually, the teachings Father Muhammad gave to us of how the God is passed down to the other one was just a satire on the way that this world here believes. It was just a satire to expose what they themselves believe in. They couldn't attack it. If they had attacked it, they would have brought out their own secrets. They didn't know how much the Honorable Elijah Muhammad knew. They didn't know that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad might have the connection. If he could connect it with their own hierarchy, their own God hierarchy. They didn't know that, so they were afraid to take chances. They wouldn't attack the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's like kicking the dunghill. You kick the dunghill, you get it all over your shoes. Now, Bell Telephone, you should send us a donation. I know you're taking notes. CIA and FBI, all of you all should send us a donation. I know you're taking notes. And tell all the people you pass it to send us a donation. Yeah, we do something for the wisdom they get from us. Believe me, they're becoming educated. They're understanding their own system better just because of my own teaching here. Now, let us come to this mental picture and close out. That is, as it takes, germinates, and begins to grow through its stages of development, is also a sign. We won't deal with it in its completion, but Allah has told us in the Quran that there are seven grave above you and a matching number in yourselves. But we're just looking at one idea here, and really for this idea you can go to the Bible. Not necessarily go to the Bible. If you know, you remember reading this kind of idea in the Bible, then good. If you don't, then there's no good need to go there. Because if you go there, you're like going into a 60 feet deep, foot deep hole of the baddest snakes on earth. And I wouldn't want to go down there. Too big a risk. The Bible speaks of deliverance, birth, freedom, and deliverance. Might not call it freedom and deliverance, but that's what it's talking about. And it says of so-called Jews or Hebrews, that when God found them, he found them wallowing in their own blood. And the navel cord had not yet been cut. Now, let us think about this. The baby in the womb of this mother is protected by the water around it. The water around it is a kind of a cushion to keep it comfortable and nice. And in case there's some blow to the mother's abdomen, it does not give direct shock to the baby. The water is a kind of shield or protection. When the baby is delivered, the time when the baby's put the baby delivered, the water breaks. Right? The water breaks and the water flows, you see. The baby finally taken from the mother, and the baby is taken from the mother, there's blood on the water, blood on the baby, right? Okay, what came first? Water. then blood. Right? Then the baby. Right? The water that the baby came in, you don't want that water. And the blood that is on the baby, we don't want that blood. The water, we don't want it. It served its purpose. It had its fair place for that period of time when the life was developing in the womb. The blood now is on the baby. The baby was being fed from the placenta. The baby was being fed from the blood of the mother. But we don't want that, do we? Watch it on. Lastly, there's a navel cord. The baby is still attached to his mother. And because of this attachment to his mother, oxygen is being fed to the baby. Is that right? But we don't want that oxygen. We cut that E-net cord. Cut the navel cord, right? Cut the navel cord. Now the baby is independent. The baby is on his own. The baby has let the water go. The baby has gotten free of the blood. The baby has gotten free of breathing from his mother. It is on its own. What does this tell us? This tells us that this stage of development in religious knowledge represents the end of one kind of dependency and the beginning of a new development. The first kind of dependency in water represents that kind of blind emotional obedience that we have. And the blood representing the drive, the natural instinctive drive in us. We have hunger for food. We know we need money. We know we need this. And this is driving us. Some of us know we need to have some religion in our life. And this is driving us. But where is the wisdom? Where is the science? Where is the sense? It's not there. Some of us are going to the service and we are having a lot of spiritual excitement and everything. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're giving our spiritual excitement to God. That's just instinctive, instinctive. It's an instinct, in the natural instinct of the human being to have spiritual jubilation. To have a spiritual conscience, whether you obey something and follow it spiritually. You see? Spiritual excitement, spiritual jubilation, spiritual obedience. This is instinctive. Appetite for food, water, drink, material comfort for a woman. All instinctive. So you have to leave off one water, leave off one blood, leave off one dependency for air. You have to leave it behind you in order to take on an independent growth. Until my leadership, you are nothing but a society in the womb of some other society. With no independent life. You are just resting in the waterbed of some other knowledge that was not your own. You had the drive of the common animal for the material things of this world. Isn't that a fact? Oh, yeah. And your spirit was the spirit of the world. You were breathing through the breath of the world that you were in. You had not taken on independent spirit for yourself. And the baby comes here and takes the first breath of air for itself. Its lungs begin to work. It's breathing for itself. Right? Yes. It's breathing. The nose is taking in breath for itself. And you perhaps have two levels of breathing. In fact, you have more than that. But there are two conscious levels of breathing. One level is through your nose. The other level is through your mouth. When you breathe through your mouth, it's actually breathing through the throat. When you're asleep, the level of breathing changes, especially when you get into deep sleep. It changes from the nostril to the throat. You're not breathing no more from the nostril through the level of the nostril. Your breathing is coming from the throat. You're pulling the air in from your throat. Whereas normal breathing, you're pulling it in through here, the nostril. Taking it in through the nostril. That's why when people are sleeping real deep, especially hard sleepers, often the mouth fly open. And they begin to breathe with their mouth. The mouth is taking it in. They are really in a deep sleep. They're sleeping deep. Breathing in through the mouth. So the mouth is a deeper level of breathing. And the throat, the deeper level of breathing. You see? When you come out in the atmosphere, separate from your mother, you begin to breathe through your nose. Right? Yes. This is the most advanced level of breathing. In order to understand this, God says, in the Bible that is, and he breathed into the man, nostril, the breath of, from his own nostril. Breathe into the man, the breath of his own nostril. Which shows that the nostril is a symbol representing a higher level of conscience. A higher level of conscience. Oh, look, when the baby comes, it's not breathing through the cord, the navel cord, and eating through the from the placenta and sleeping on the water bed, the comfortable bed of the environment it was once in. It makes an exodus. And when it exodus, it takes on more responsibility. It's breathing with its own lungs for itself. It feels the hunger directly now. It has to cry and say, I want food. It has to make an effort to swallow, where before it was fed through its system, no effort. The food came right into its system, no effort. Food, water, and air came into its system, no effort. The little heart was beating to build up muscle strength. Right? Then the baby comes and the air shock, the shock of the air, the environment, make it start breathing. It doesn't do this without some shock. They have a silly notion now, coming into the nursery, into the, what they call the baby hospital. Delivery room. From crazy psychiatrists. But a baby should come in with no shock. There should be absolutely no shock. So they play a little light, sweet music to the mother before the baby is born. And as the baby come out here in this little light, melodious music, you know, heavenly music. And they try to make it pain-free. And they don't slap the baby to make it cry. They don't have to do that, because actually the environment itself is enough shock. And when the baby need air, it's going to do it itself. But it should be natural. The baby should do it with some force, because that force, that struggle, that first jerk for life, tells that baby it's going to be a jerk and a struggle all the way. And if life is not prepared for that, it comes here weak, flimsy, soft, sissy, pussy. Yes. That's what we mean when we say pussy. We mean it's soft, flimsy. can't stand up. We want to build up leadership for ourselves. We want to exit us from dependency on this society for everything. We want to exit us from that. And I think the lesson in life and in nature will stick on our minds and will help us do what we must do. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, we don't want to always be dependent upon our instinctive forces for survival. The human being has been given the best instinctive life. But that instinctive life urges us on and on for higher development. It urges us to come into enlightenment, science, and understanding of life in the world so that we can live a fuller and more human life. We want to stop depending on just the water of human spiritual instincts, the blood of the instinctive appetite. We want to take on the spirituality of enlightenment. The social appetites of an enlightened society. We want to become rational in our religion as much as possible. We want to know what is the rational basis. In the nature, there is revealed the rational basis. And God has sent great prophets to us to show us that in the natural design of your life, how you evolve as a creature of instinct to a creature of enlightenment, that there are signs that when you read them, you find logical or rational basis for the life that God wants us to come into. So we have to teach the people and educate the people, all of them, so that they will see that the moral teaching we give is not just spiritual, it's rational, it's logical. That the noble aspirations that we call you all to come to and to give your support to are not just scripture. They are scientific principles that can be proven scientifically. This is what you must come into. Read the Quran more. Learn it. Commit small chapters to memory. And then go on to commit more to memory. Read the book over and over again. Read it often. Don't just read it in the month of Ramadan. Read it weekly, daily if you can, so that you will memorize more of the book and become better acquainted with the book. You'll say, much of it I don't understand. That's okay. Much of what you soak in from the TV you don't understand, but you soak it in anyway because you like it. This is better and safer. This is pure and perfect for you. Soak it in because you like it. You don't have to understand it all. When you put a seed in the ground, does it come forth immediately? The ground can't deal with it immediately. Ground has to wait for the right season.